Blog Talk Radio.
Atlanta, Minneapolis, Nashville, and everywhere else.
Sanitary napkins and tampons every day, knowing little to nothing about the harmful and potentially dangerous materials used to manufacture them. Because of this, millions of women are forced to suffer in silence. In the United States, the Food and Drug Administration does not require companies to list the ingredients contained in sanitary napkins and tampons. Yet the average woman uses more than 15,000 sanitary napkins or uses tampons for more than 100,000 hours over her lifetime.
You really don't know what's in it. I mean, I don't think any of us really know, especially, you know, some of the new pads that maybe have a spongy type texture that's supposed to hold more. Well, what exactly is that? What's that made out of? We don't know. So then there's questions of how does that affect our health? You know, with things coming out that, you know, baby powder and talc are dangerous and cause ovarian cancer, what other things are we exposing our very sensitive areas to that could end up being a problem later on?
Internationally, it's even worse. A recent report from UNICEF and the World Health Organization cites that at least 500 million girls and women globally lack adequate facilities for managing their periods. In most schools, girls have to trek to the nurse's office to ask for a pad or tampon, as if menstruating is an illness rather than a natural function. In some parts of the world, girls simply drop out of school once they start menstruating. The manufacturing process of these menstrual aids has been known to cause serious damage to the environment. The toxic byproducts of producing tampons include poisons like dioxin and furan. In fact, conventional sanitary pads can contain the equivalent of about 4 plastic bags. Synthetics and plastic restrict airflow and trap heat and dampness, potentially promoting yeast and bacteria growth in a woman's vaginal area. Conventional sanitary pads can also contain other potentially hazardous ingredients, such as odor neutralizers and fragrances. How do tampons and pads get that ultra-white, clean look? Usually chlorine bleach, which can also create toxic dioxin and other disinfection byproducts. According to an EPA draft report, dioxin is a serious public health threat that has no safe level of exposure. To make matters worse, tampons create a favorable environment for bacterial growth.
Certainly there's a lot of plastic involved with pads and the issues with tampons and the history you have to be careful with, toxic shock syndrome and stuff, just because of what it's made out of is kind of a nidus of bacteria that's not so good for patients.
Micro tears in the vaginal wall from tampons allow bacteria to accumulate when left too long. One infamous risk is toxic shock syndrome, or TSS, caused by poisonous toxins from bacteria. TSS is a life-threatening condition that affects women under 30 most. While any woman using tampons can get TSS, over 60% of TSS fatalities happen in women ages 15 to 24. For too long, these facts have been conveniently swept under the rug, while hundreds of millions of women suffer with no alternatives. Until now. Introducing Cherish Premium Sanitary Napkins by Inspire. Cherish pads have been designed by women for women.
Good afternoon, Karina.
Hey, Marlene.
How are you doing today?
We're doing well. We're doing well considering
good.
The circumstances. Thanks for having me on today.
Well, I want to introduce you to the people listening. This is Karina Ali Bowens. She is a litigant in a lawsuit against Sodexo, who is a French company that came to the U.S. They're actually functioning in many, many states, but in Karina's particular case, she was working for Georgia Vocational Rehab Division as a student, basically, in a job. with a contract that was signed by Governor Deal of the state of Georgia, allowing Sodexo to act as not only an educator, but a for-profit business in the state of Georgia. In this particular case, Karima was in culinary learning school, and she saw several abuses going on within Sodexo's ranks and Georgia Vocational Rehab Division, such as maliciousness and abuse of other students and employees, malfeasance of job and duties for the people that work for Sodexo and management. And eventually, Karima was stuck with a workman's comp case, left to pay her bills by herself on her own to the tune of about, what, $70,000, $80,000. Am I correct, Karima?
Yes, about right.
And then the state of Georgia, who's supposed to look out for Karima's best interest, chose to side with Sodexo. So today we're going to talk about the 14th and the 11th Amendments of the Constitution and how those amendments are relative to this case and where Karima got shortchanged, basically, in her due process and in her representation as a student of the United States, as a student through the Georgia Vocational Rehabilitation System. So, Karima, thank you for being on with us today, and thank you for opening up this much about your life. Not just everybody wants to talk about these things. So I want to tell you thank you, first of all, for your candidness and your frankness and your forthcoming.
Oh, man, I couldn't have put it any better. I don't even know what to say. It's just been a great opportunity for me to understand that the world is just not black and gray. You know, or black and white.
No,
there's
man.
A gray side
no.
into it, and I guess I walked into it and so naive. As you know, and we've been talking about this. This has been going on for 2 years, years and 2 months, and you know, just the medical bills that they've stuck me with at you know $280,000 is ridiculous. You know, plus the wear and tear on my family. Having to support me and sustain a life field without being incapacitated at that time. And my injury was based on the fact that the reasonable accommodations that I complained about that wasn't being given to me is a result of my injury because they did not, the state of Georgia sat there and witnessed and took statements from all of us stating that we weren't being treated fairly, and the only thing they could tell us to do was just hang in there. And that was
well, and to add insult to injury now, or add salt to the wounds, however you want to depict the circumstances, I understand now Sodexo has claimed that you and your case are a scam and have erased
yes.
it from the internet. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes, ma'am,
okay.
It has. They
so they
I,
have infringed. They've literally infringed on your due process, for starters. 14th Amendment, second clause would give guarantee to that. But your first violation of representation was the fact that Sodexo is a French-based company operating in the United States of America as an international company. And your government officials sold you out in exchange for Sodexo. So your citizenship rights have been violated, and there's some very serious cases that go with the 14th Amendment, such as, just for starters, Brown versus the Board of Education. And the reason that's so important is because Brown was basically arguing that children born of slaves were Africans, or slaves were Africans, and were not entitled to citizenship rights in the United States of America. And so we can already see, you know, there's a very deep stronghold there for your justification for existence and your justification for argument of malfeasance of government officials on your behalf and your representation. So there's very serious problems. I mean, we can go on from there. There was that's actually a foundation for Roe versus Wade, That's the foundation for Bush versus Gore regarding the 2000 presidential election. And there was another upholding of a case called Obligerfeld versus Hodges. And that one was the one regarding same-sex marriage. So this amendment covers broad spectrum in the first section and clearly goes very deep into lifestyle of citizenship of the United States of America. Let me give a little bit of history about why the 14th Amendment even exists. The 14th Amendment was ratified by all the states of the Union at the time in like 1880, somewhere in that 1868, somewhere in that vicinity, because that was the only way the South, after losing the Civil War, could get representation back into Congress. So you could literally say almost a gun was held to the head of the Southern states to ratify the 14th Amendment. But they literally had no choice because that was the basis for the Reconstruction Amendment. And so it's a very deep stronghold, you could say. The average person reading the 14th Amendment and even including parts of the 11th Amendment would have no problem, you know, standing behind you, Karima, in your claim. I hope and pray this gets to court, and I'm going to tell you why. A jury of your peers is going to whip the hiney so bad of Georgia Vocational Rehabilitation, Governor Deal, and state officials of the the state of Georgia, as well as Congress and Senate not representing your interest as a citizen. So your peers in your community, they're not high-fluting attorneys. They don't need high-level degrees to see how bad you've been taken advantage of just as a citizen in a program that was pre-designed, you know, without your inclusion, and then at the end of the day, sold you out as a citizen. And so I'm looking forward to court because somebody's going to have some explaining to do, as Ricky used to tell Lucy. And I don't think Sodexo and all their high-flipping attorneys, I know for a fact, state attorneys in the Attorney General's office aren't going to be able to argue you. I can assure you of that. So, and I'm sorry, guys, I don't mean to slam on you if you're an attorney, but I will remind you that usually the lowest level talent goes to work for the state and law people. So those who are pretty good attorneys usually have no problem going out on their own right away with very high level jobs in law firms. The leftovers are what the state hires. So, Karima,
wow.
This would be easy pickings for a jury of your peers.
Yeah, what's happening. What's happening is I started this it was my third attorney. I started this in the workers' comp level because my injury was sustained on the job. What Sodexo actually did was they said I went to my own doctor because initially the first day, that night, I kept asking to go to a hospital and I needed their information. They refused to respond to me. And then I went to their workers' comp doctor, and what they did was something that I did not look at, nor did the three attorneys that I had already hired look at the fact that the actual medical certification from the workers' comp doctor stated that my injury had nothing to do with any pre-existing conditions and that it was an on-the-job injury and that there was no particular medical reasons where they said, oh, well, she got dizzy and fell, and that wasn't the case. What the case was that I was called themselves training us, but then they would come out there, they would be out there a couple minutes, and then they would leave and then just leave you to do whatever you thought was best. And that was just food handling skills and the training that they said that we were going to get, they didn't do that. And so when I complained about that, I was a troublemaker. And so I started complaining initially about not getting what they would say the best training, but I didn't need it technically because I was already a certified manager for not just food handling, but could manage a kitchen. And so I had a national certification, and you know I thought it was a pretty good company on the surface, but as we started getting involved with the day to day individuals, because it's not just me, Marlene. There's 9 other people, women and men, that are special need, that are disabled, that was a part of this situation. This was a program, a pilot program that they hid and buried. That got Sodexo Employer of the Year, which they advertised over everything. Oh, they're the best employer of the world. But they gave them Employer of the Year, and then they got rid of everybody that had any knowledge of this failed program. So from the
Karima, I can assure you,
3 other people.
I can assure you, the biggest problem you have is you don't have special needs enough that you don't have any problem verbalizing what's been done to you, how you've been wronged. As a vocational expert recognized in the state of Georgia, South Carolina, Florida, North Carolina, one other state, you'll have to forgive me, I can't remember which one.
Arkansas, probably.
No, it's not Arkansas. Texas. I wrote some for Texas. Your brightest talent is, again, not in vocational rehabilitation. I hate to say this, especially working for the state. They are bureaucrats. In other words, they're not people with specialized degrees that got there. They are, it's cronyism from the governor on down. And the governors basically don't want to hear about it unless it's a win, 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 win. That's politics. It wouldn't matter if it was Republican or Democrat. The fact that there are 9 other people of special needs that cannot verbalize and state their case in a way that's easy to follow and society wouldn't have any problem understanding makes their attitude and their behavior even more despicable. And now then, the fact that they're trying to call you a scam, now then that they're trying to bury your case in layers of bureaucracy, now then that they're trying to cover their tracks after they know what a mess up they've made, they know they're going to pay. Question is how much. And they're going to do everything they can to throw stones at you, to throw you under the bus, to keep you from getting to court. I know for a fact, personally, there are still some really great judges left in this land. They've all been bought off. There are some really good men and women who believe in justice, who want to see justice for the average Joe. And they will not bow to politics. They will not bow to pressure from their peers. They will take a stand and they will hold their own. And they're protected by federal law for the rest of their life. So anybody that gets really stupid and takes an attempt out on a judge really has a serious death wish, because that's exactly what you're going to get. Now, in this particular case, your case holds constitutional standing over anything else. When the Civil War was fought, it was fought for states' rights having superiority over federal rights. That was the whole crux of the Civil War. It was really not about slavery. Slavery was an issue, and Abraham Lincoln wanted to end slavery because he felt like that was the best way to a civilized society, which, by the way, he was Republican, not Democrat, which I find so amazing today. But the reality is that slavery was really a minor issue. The major issue was federal rights versus state rights and the economy. The South wanted their own currency, their own leadership, all that kind of stuff, but they lost the war. And they saw how bad a shape they were in. That's why they quickly ratified the 14th Amendment in the southern states to get back on equal footing of representation in Congress and Senate in the U.S. So these guys that you have going against you, Karima, they can be the best jawline repertoire attorneys on the planet, but they're not smart enough to outdo the founding fathers and the Constitution of the United States of America. As an average citizen trying to make a living every day, my biggest fear is that the Constitution will eventually be watered down and be rid of. Once that happens, slavery is in effect effective all over the world for the rest of the world, forever. All we have left that separates us from the other parts of the world, and Karima, you know how many times I've been to foreign countries and worked with foreign governments, is that Constitution, the Bill of Rights. Those first 10 amendments are what separates us from tyranny and New World Order rulings. We cannot afford to let that go by. And the 11th Amendment, which comes into play after the 14th Amendment, gives us an even bigger validation for why your case matters. It supplements the justified cause of due process. And so with that said, we have to continue to outsmart them by making sure we have every paper in its place, every discovery in its place, every exhibit in its place, so on and so forth, so that we can move on and get you where you need to go, especially get you back.
You know what's so weird? You know what's so weird, Marlene?
What?
You know what's so weird to me is that the money that they could have paid me, Sodexo is spending like hundreds of thousands of dollars. I kept wondering why I went as far until the attorney, the last attorney that sabotaged my case, you had to help me talk to, kept my records. So the next company that he said, you're going to lose. He said, there's no way you're going to win. This is somebody that has, just supposed to take in a pledge to represent me. So I look up, right, and what I have now is that I face two of the largest law firms in the land. This one is right. Luke Donahue, Ogletree, Deakins, Nash, Smoke, and Stewart, D.C. And they have offices in probably every state that the Sodexo is doing big business. And Sodexo is a multi-billion-dollar company. They're on the New York Stock Exchange, and it's not like I kept wondering why, they just have just decided to just falsify information, falsify depositions, they falsify testimonies, all those people that made a deposition during my workers' comp case are no longer with the company. They stalled until they had me toiled my time to be able to go to EEOC within the time frame. So that's where I'm at right now. And that's why, I'm looking at the fact that all of the people that I was just describing was just a part of my initial complaint. But we are going after the governor's office. We're going after the governor and
well,
the CBRA on this next term.
Let me make a point here about the 11th Amendment. The 11th Amendment guarantees that American citizens have full citizenship protection over any foreign state, period. Attorneys, whether they're with Sodexo's representation or yours, need to be reported to the Bar Association, and they need to be reported to the federal state attorney general for obstruction of justice. You cannot hide documents. You cannot bury documents. You cannot lie about your client, and you sure cannot give up client attorney privileged information without your client's approval. Now, there's no doubt in my mind, those slick jerkwad attorneys that I had to talk to and you dealt with, they had you sign away your right in there somehow. I don't know. I didn't read the documents that you signed with them. That's between you and them. But I promise you, they covered their honey on some level there. But they don't. You can never sign away your right to sue. That is the first rule of citizenship in this nation. A non-disclosure, non-compete is basically a deterrent to keep you from suing. But I don't care who you are. You can never sign away your complete right to sue anyone. That's the first rule of tort law. The average consumer, the average person doesn't know that. Every attorney on the planet knows that, but they're not about to tell you that. And in this particular case, you have a federal case of obstruction of justice of the very people who basically steal rights from the average commoner every day. And I hope we wind up doing something about that. Just because they're going to keep getting by with it until somebody does something to them.
They've been doing it anyway. The company, it seems like what I've been experiencing. The other company that all this is a part of the book that we have coming out. We just needed to make sure that we were in the right place. So instead of settling with me, they want to bury the case. Why would they go to Swift and Curry? Which, when I went in their building downtown Atlanta, mm-hmm. you needed to see. They own the whole building. And mm-hmm. they, you know, so I've been fighting against Sodexo, Gallagher, Bassett mm-hmm. Services for the accident. I've been fighting against Swift Curry, which was the company that tricked us into thinking that they wanted to settle. And they gave us an offer of $5,000 after they had saw all the bills for my surgery because I tore my rotator cuff. And so I have the doctor stated in my case that, you know, the way that they had to repair it is a massive tear. So I'm not able to return back to what I used to do in the past, which is, you know, all the things that I did, pouring concrete and being a chef, cook, and all that other stuff. So I've been my lifestyle has been completely taken into another toll. And that what they've done is, and this just makes no sense to me, Marlene, that it's not just me, it was another lady. Three women were injured at that site. And the other seven was mentally abused. One lady that's in our initial disclosure was taunted in to a point where she just became really upset. And she hurt her wrist, and Sodexo didn't pay for that either. And well, they started paying for it, and they didn't. Then the actual staff that used to be there was told by the general manager, Angela Matthews, was to make sure that they got rid of us in 90 days because Sodexo gets a tax credit of $15,000 for, I guess, I don't know what the credit's for from the IRS. We signed the paper. And they get a tax credit. So that young lady, her breast was, there was another lady who was a lead, and she had a mental disability, and she coerced her to go into the break room and raise up her chest, her shirt, and expose her breast in the lunchroom, in our break area. And she took pictures of it, and then she on her phone, and then she showed it to the people in the unit, State Farm Cafe 64. And, you know, when the state came out and saw how bad this abuse was, you know what they did?
What?
They fired her. They didn't say, oh, this is not a good fit because you guys are not capable of handling special needs people. You can't treat people with special needs with my osteoarthritis and my condition, the other lady. You know, in the other gym, everybody had some kind of condition that made them disabled individuals that fell under ADA. So the state
that's why they're
did
in
not
GVRA,
even care,
Karima. That's why mm-hmm. they can't even be a participant of GVRA without a disability, period. So the very entity that was supposed to be there to protect them because of their disability outright sold them for a price on the head for the state. Now, that's not rocket science to say your priorities are way out of line. Governor and director of vocational rehab, you got to be there. Tell me the difference between them and the Bill Craft scenario in Miami or the gangs bringing in sex trafficking. I'm looking for the difference, and I don't see anything.
It seems like
their only
difference
is they get by with it in sex trafficking.
I'm just stating that the fact that
go ahead
that they just the you know with the new regime that's in, they've embraced Sodexo more and given them more contracts to expose more and more people that have that are in the program under them. So what they're doing is they've been giving Sodexo first priority. And not ever trying to conduct themselves and trying to settle this issue. We've contacted them. We contacted GVRA. We contacted. Mm-hmm. I went all up the food chain. I exhausted all of my remedies. I went from I actually visited Johnny Eikenson's office, asking him to intervene under the Vocational Rehabilitation Act. I signed a release. And a day later, they stated they couldn't do anything about it. I called the ombudsman's office and told them what was going on with Sodexo, and they didn't do anything about it. And I went to the Georgia Advocacy Office, and we were directly the advocate is a senior staff attorney, and she actually was communicating with them, saying, "Look, this is going on. Even though this may not be a part of our purview, our job, according to what we're supposed to do in our grant, is to represent disabled individuals." And as they dug deeper and things got more intense, Marlene, they sent me a letter stating that they could not go any further, that I needed to go and find a different type of attorney. So I called about 40 attorneys. And I sent my case out to 40 attorneys across the United States and organizations that's supposed to represent people like myself, and no one would take the case. No one would take it. And they stated
take it if you've got a couple million dollars in the bank.
Yeah, but what do you get after that? What do you get out?
I
wouldn't have that problem.
If you had a couple million dollars in the bank, you wouldn't have been a client of GBRA anyway, period.
Exactly.
So
like you said, it's for people.
Say, a jury of your peers, Karima. Now, granted, Sodexo is going to get to what their attorneys are going to get to weigh in on those peers too, and they want to be sure that they're neutral enough they'll give Sodexo a chance to find them innocent. But your peers, once they hear the evidence, are not going to be able to go against you. Period.
But we get there. The way things
and
are going right now.
You will.
The thing about it is the courts, I just posted the next the show, and if you look at the court document, on the same day that the order was drawn, can they, it states, if you go to Sodexo, if you go to the Pacer monitor, where the judge, it shows on the report and recommendation that Sodexo gave the judge. They gave the judge the recommendation at 11 a.m. Thursday, and in 45 minutes on 12:04 is when the order was written. 45 minutes later, on the same day. All this happened, all this shows is that, oh, yeah, here we go. The order to motion to strike was at 11:12, and then at 11:11, a recommendation. The clerk certification was at 12:04. So the dates that they're showing and the time are just 15, 20, 35, 40 minutes apart. So this shows me that no matter what we do, we're going to be in a place where we're going to have to think about something different, and there's nowhere in the world that they could send in a recommendation and 45 minutes later a judge is sitting there signing an order 45 minutes later.
Well, there's supposed to be a hearing before the judge signs an order.
Well, he dismissed certain parts of it, and he denied the other part because of the answer of the motion to strike. They had a motion to strike, and the thing about it is, I guess I'm giving them a bit of
problems because, you know, I've been representing myself, and it's gone really, really fast. The company refused to accept blame. You know what they did, Marlene? They sent them. They sent this in their submission. They said that that Ms. Bowens is confused. She never worked for Sodexo. She worked for S. Where I have an entire three attorneys that have went with the Workers' Comp Board to represent me. Then I don't even know who SDH is. Their name just popped up, and so they've been running around.
Well, that's probably some kind of a shell company they have, and they're trying to move your employees' records to that level. So
yeah,
that's
so
what
they still won't have any assets to be sued.
Exactly.
But
if you win the suit,
yeah, I get
there's
that.
Nothing there.
Right. So that's why they're fighting and saying that, you know, the marshals were supposed to serve them. The EEOC, they gave me a right to sue letter. And they're the one that clearly stated that, you know, this is normal for Sodexo. This is what they do. Do you know, Marlene, they got 255 cases pending litigation since 2015.
Not surprised.
And,
let me just remind you,
Karina. Georgia,
there was there was this gal named Erin Brockovich. Did you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Karina?
I'm here.
I said there was this woman named Erin Brockovich who went up against this huge oil company who had been contaminating water tables and ground soils, killing people.
Wow.
And she hung in there, and she won her case and literally became a household name in the U.S. This is a recreate of Erin Brockovich, only this company is not even an American entity. They're a foreign entity. And so your case is basically David against Goliath. You have to continue to.
Wow.
It is. And you have to stay on top of this. You know that. I know that. We're working on it. But I'm just saying, you know, for people who are listening, you think to yourself, wah, not my problem, not my monkey, not my circus, yada, yada, yada. Well, one of these days it will be your monkey and it will be your circus. It might be your child. It might be you. Might be a grandchild. So this case has such relevance to so many people on so many levels, even though they don't think so. I mean, Karima, talk about the case where you saw where they had, Sodexo had poisoned U.S. military men and women by feeding them contaminated meat in one of their cafeterias.
Right. That when I started doing my research about who this company truly was, and I had to reference cases that were similar to mine, I ran across the United States Marine Corps Times, and I had a chance to talk to the actual reporter who actually put it together. And what's happened is that Sodexo has food poisoned 550 Marines in San Diego, California. And there's a lawsuit that's been filed by the Marine, five of the Marines who became ill, and to the point it was E. coli. So the CDC became involved in it. The CDC and USDA all agreed that the food that they were serving the soldiers, the active soldiers, all had E. coli in it. And that long exposure has caused five of those Marines thrown out of the military because it affected their brain, their kidneys, and their liver, where they could not function any further. What they did was they gave Sodexo, instead of throwing them off the base, they gave them another $317 million contract added on top of that. So that's how they reward Sodexo. is that that's what's happening. That, you know, and I wondered, I talked to the gentleman. He's one, I don't know what the reporters are, but he's somebody that's credible. And he stated that, you know, this is something that, they just reported, but they're under kind of like a gag order not to bring it public. So that's it's almost the same thing with me. Then they've been trying to bury it, but the company is a huge foodborne illness attorney, and I reached out to them, and they're representing 3 of the 5 soldiers. So they're getting they're rewarded, and Sodexo's been rewarded for all the wrong things that they do to American citizens. So they're doing it to this, you know, to our soldiers as well. And they're I just never seen anything like it. When I read it, I just couldn't believe it.
Well, just remember, Karima, the higher you go, the harder the fall. I mean, they can bury all day long, but eventually they'll get found out, and eventually they'll have to answer, and they'll have to pay. So this will not be any different.
Well, you know, I saw a need to advance what's going on and try to be a voice for the other eight or nine people that went through just the abuse there. And when I went to the senator's office, I was just shocked that Senator Eikenson could turn a blind eye to it. And I was really doubly shocked that GAO, who asked if they could meet with them and talk to GVRA about how Sodexo had treated not just myself, but the other two other women that were truly critically exposed to abuse, as well as the other seven that just really was trying to get away from the whole situation. And they were threatened. The other two ladies were threatened to have their disability. It's a ticket to work program. So they can keep their benefits up to a year and kind of, you know, go to training and work at the same time and not do that. So they threatened the young lady, Jackie, and the other lady, Miss Flo, that if they would, you know, pursue anything, that they would get their checks cut. And so I had talked to these women prior to all of us being separated over the last 2 years, where they just have been living in fear about just coming forward. And it's an awful situation to know that the state of Georgia, they actually tried to talk to Sean Casey is the director of GVRA, and they talked directly to Sean Casey, and Sean Casey did not care either way what was going on. This was
during
the workers' comp piece. And and as a result of me reporting GVRA to GOA, GVRA kicked me out of the program. And that's when I called you, and you sent a letter to them. And so they kind of said, oh, well, you know, they kicked me out of the program and said that they didn't really justify it. They just kicked me out of the program because I had went through another training piece to become self-employed. And to receive a grant of $15,000 just to get our radio station, you know, some funding. And
right.
I had graduated, and I was waiting on the money to me to sit back and get the last approval piece. And that what they did was they GVRA sent a letter and stated that they're no longer doing a self-employment program, and that that they mentioned some kind of foolishness that I had the radio station all this time. And I'm like, that's impossible because I just went through class. And so they just came up with some botched up reason to throw me off the program. But that was because I kept reporting. I reported it to, even went as far as calling Fox 5 News and Randy Travis is somebody that I thought I was really cool with, and he wouldn't touch the story. So it does, I understand that now at this level, a year and a half ago, I did not understand the magnitude of how far this goes to the top, Marley. And it's exhausting.
Well, one State Department will not turn on another State Department. I mean, that's
okay.
It's very, very hard to get a doctor to testify against another doctor. Well, it's even worse to get one State Department to turn on another State Department. It's bureaucracy. I mean, it's 1,000 times worse in D.C. I wish I could tell you it's not. But you have people in jobs, Karima, who never have to justify their existence, who never have to justify them keeping a job, who never have to prove they actually do anything. They just sit there and protect their little cronyism and protect other cronyisms. And, I mean, they're the maggots of the state budget. I don't know what else to tell you. They really are.
Well,
I
just wanted to share something because we're. I just wanted to make sure everybody knows that every day up until my deadline, we're going to be doing some kind of show so that this case number can get back in the search engine. And the other thing is that the pre-order of the book is called Agency Abuse Exploitation of Georgia's Disabled Injured Workers. It's called Separate but Equal, and it's the Georgia Disability Workforce Separate but Equal, and it's a compelling true story about what we're telling you now. And the good thing about and I exposed this on Facebook, was that I kept documentation. I'm not just talking about writing. I got video documentation that I've been releasing on showing that I actually was at Sodexo, that I was there in the Sodexo uniform, performing at Sodexo, performing my work status, showing that they weren't giving me the help, make me lift all these objects that was way over my capacity. Forcing me to do things that was not in my job performance as a person with a disability. And I've been releasing that video, and we're going to do a lot more. We actually asked GVRA Marlene to sit down, and we painted out a way that we could actually fix this. I said that they needed sensitivity training. That, you know, that was a different way to deal with people with disabilities and special needs. You just can't make them do things that they're not capable of doing. And the lady that was over it, Angela Matthews, was a bully. She was a mean tyrant. And I was shocked because it was a woman, you know, that was really mean, mean-spirited woman. To a point where
she was exploiting. It was one woman exploiting other women. That's how a lot of women get into prostitution, is through another woman. Pimps know this, and they send women out to recruit other women. This is not rocket science. This has been going on a long time. And, you know, I guess you could say in this particular case, the state was the pimp. Really.
Well,
it's sad, but it's true.
It's horrible to think like that. And, you know, I want to bring this up, and I hope people don't take this the wrong way. I actually went to Stacey Abrams' camp and been sending them different parts of our case and everything. And I asked them back in June of last year to champion the people with disabilities here in Georgia that are part of this new workforce development law that Deal put in place. Well, just think about this. They were paying $10 and some change. Then they were taking money out of your check for your benefits, for your medical, for medical, whatever that is.
Health insurance.
And then after everything was taken out for everything else, we were only really making $5.24 an hour. And it's household that everybody's bragging about, but by the time they take out all the money for everything, you're only making $5 an hour, $5.24 an hour.
Karima, workforce development is the worst thing that happened to this nation. It is. I would rather go back to employment security any given day of the week. Workforce development was just a redistribution of federal funds. Instead of having an employment security commission in each state where the commission was made up of different kinds of professions and people that, you know, actually were hands-on in jobs, were given some of the state budget to manage towards recruitment and that kind of thing. Workforce development took that money and gave it to college professors to manage. I'm highly educated, but I'll be the first one to tell you, if you really want to screw something up, give it to government or college educators. They're just, if they had to go work for a living, it'd kill them. They're just really sad people. They're most of the time very unhappy people for a reason. But employment security actually had a mandate and actually got things done in each state. Workforce development has no mandate. It's just a bunch of talking heads patting themselves on the back for how great they are. They're a joke. And if I were a Stacey Abrams, I'm just using her as an example, and I was trying to say that I wanted to be the best CEO for the state of Georgia, one thing I would do is I would do that. I would say this state is going to go back to Employment Security Commission. We're going to eliminate workforce development because there's no standards in place for workforce development to hold themselves accountable to. Oh, they get to make sure they go on foreign trips to see how other countries do crap, you know, but they don't really ever particularly do anything. Let me restate that. They do nothing. There is a workforce development, I guess you could say, commission in each county, and then each county sends a representative to the state. And then the commission from the state is handpicked through cronyism of the governor. Whereas employment security was much more, I guess you could say, bilateral, Republican and Democrat mandated group. And so there was some, you know, actual work going on to protect potential employees or employees and workers of the state. Workforce development does nothing. They're a joke. And until we see, I'll just be honest with you, and I don't care if we're talking about Mitt Romney, Stacey Abrams, and I will give this to Donald Trump. You don't have to be a fan of Donald Trump to see. I mean, the man has broke up so many cesspools that the American taxpayer was paying for. And if I really, really, really wanted to tell my state that I was running for a CEO position of, I'd start right there. You've got to show them a need to change. Otherwise, they're not going to change. People are not that complicated. Mm-hmm. And if you can't, and they don't care about you putting it on a brochure and sending it out in the mail, and they don't care about you putting it on your website. They want to hear it from your mouth. What are you going to do differently? And if you're not going to show them, they don't care. And they will not vote for you. They will keep everything the same. So I look for people who really want to be in politics that have the true interest of the American citizen in mind will start following some of the changes that Trump is doing, and meaning that he holds people accountable. Yeah, he's been through a lot of staff, cabinet members, but, you know, if you ain't doing the job, you have no business being there. So that kind of thing doesn't bother me. I see that kind of stuff every day, so I don't give that much thought. But in this particular case, we have to continue to fight the front for the effort agreement. We cannot back down. We cannot go away. And we cannot allow, you know, our sister, our neighbor, our friend to be exposed by bad handlers that call themselves state officials.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's 3 Sir, o'clock.
We got Mario, right?
Today.
I'm on the line.
Yeah, Mario. Oh, DeMonica. Okay, DeMonica. Okay.
Hey, DeMonica. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. It's good to talk to you.
Yeah, good to talk to you, too. Yeah, I've been listening to the show the last 20 minutes. I apologize for my lateness, but I had a show last night. But it is very interesting on what you're saying. You know, same here. I'm a person that applied for what they call the vocational workforce, the workforce thing. And what they do here in Minnesota, I'm on a waiting list, you know, because I got denied. But I'm like, what does that mean? Well, I got approved, but I'm on a waiting list, but I'm not at the top of the list. So what they do is they have you come down to the workforce center, see what your disabilities are. You turn in your medical records and that, and then they determine your severity of your disability. So I'm what they call a tier 3
mm-hmm.
on the waiting list to get help from the workforce vocational rehabilitation services thing. So I don't know if they do the same thing down there in Georgia, but I'm like, in between, what do I do?
Yeah, they don't care. Trust
and they
me,
don't.
They don't care.
Can't get through the number. I've called the national number. You can't never get through. I've been down there in person, and I'm like, so what do I do? I'm just sitting here in limbo.
I wish I could tell you that. They took away Employment Security Division because it had federal attachments. Workforce Development has no federal attachments.
Mm.
So it's completely ran as a standalone entity in each state. And that's why it's such a screw-up. You know, if you leave the fox to watch the hen house, guess what he's going to do? Eat the hen.
Right.
It's not rocket science. And so
right.
This is the exact same thing. And mm-hmm. since it's so political in each state, the cronyism supersedes everything else. Now, you tell me, here would be my first question about the situation for you, DeMonica. Have you looked mm-hmm. online to see what the definitions of Tier 1, Tier 2, and Tier 3 or criteria is to be on either one of those, any of those tiers?
No, I have not, but I've read some of the literature, and I guess I have to have you know, some more extreme, you know,
disabilities.
No, yeah.
Well,
I have chronic.
Then I would want to know what are the disability standards for tier 1 and tier 2 if I'm at tier 3.
Right. Yeah.
You're not stepping outside of your boundaries to ask those questions against
mm-hmm.
the state of Minnesota. So. I'm just thinking, I would put it in writing. I would write the governor of Minnesota. I wouldn't waste my time with the vocational
mm-hmm.
rehabilitation director. They're a joke. They're just it's just
yeah.
cronyism. I don't know how else to say it. And it makes me sick. But it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So Marnie,
let me ask you a question
that.
Before you go there. When all
sure.
of we fall under ADA, is Sodexo and you know these individuals that we're falling under the Civil Rights Act under ADA. Why
uh-huh.
is it so difficult for them to bounce around that ideal that the Disability Rights Act is not something that they need to address?
Well, because CREMA, they're an international company. They don't
yeah.
really have a clue of what goes on in the U.S. They don't care. They could care less.
Yeah.
They have some kind of attorney agents explaining to them how the system works. They don't actually care how the system works.
Mm-hmm.
And all those people care about Sodexo is the bottom line. So if that agent comes in and says, well, if you do this, this is what you get, and it's going to cost you that. If you do this over here, it's what you're going to get, and it's going to cost you four times that. They just go with the bottom line. They just don't care. And that's the problem you have when you open up business to foreign international entities over your own companies. And NAFTA was what started that mess. And we're trying to, as you know, we're trying to get NAFTA renegotiated. And it's something I wouldn't want to tackle. And I'm pretty smart, especially in business. But you wouldn't want me doing it because I'd run all of them out of here. And there's some security in allowing them to stay. And let me explain to you what that is. Let's say tomorrow we go to war. And let's say we go to war with China. Or let's say we go to war with Russia. And in the U.S., China and Russia have invested and have companies here and have money sitting in checking accounts and have buildings and yada, yada, yada. And let's say that Russia decides to bomb us just like 9/11. Well, we can naturalize their assets to pay for that bomb in a skinny minute. So there's some benefits to having foreign entities. But when you got the tail wagging the dog, instead of dog wagging the tail, as is with Sodexo, and as is what was happened to you, Karima, through GBRA and Governor Deal, that's where things got out of line. And then to try to cover their hiney, they go give them the Business of the Year award. I mean, that's even more ridiculous. So that's why I say the higher they climb, the harder the fall. Because they're going to have some really bad PR to cover up. The state of Georgia's going to have some really bad PR they're going to have to wear after you win in federal court and then you win against Sodexo, and they'll be sanctioned. They'll be fined, not only for what they'll have to pay you, but they'll have to pay the United States government some money, and they'll have to pay the state of Georgia some money, probably everything they've made times three. It's going to cost them more than it was ever worth for them to come here. So it's not to their advantage right now. And the state of Georgia, through the governor's office, is going to be wearing more than egg on its face, and it's brown. And so with that said, you know, there's – yeah, it took you a while to catch on there, y'all. Anyway. But it's going to be a problem. It's going to be a serious problem. And then the fact that you pointed out, Karima, that they've got 220 pending cases right now in the United States of America since 2015, that tells you they've been breaking laws left and right.
I don't understand how can they get away with that.
Well, they just keep hiring these high-level law firms that don't do anything but just keep paper turned over. That's all they do. They're not getting anything accomplished.
My son is in the Department of Corrections. My son is in the Department of Corrections here in Minnesota. He called me the other day because you know that they feed the inmates, you know. And he was telling me about how the food had plastic in it the other day.
Yeah.
And so he went to talk to the guard about it. He's like, look, this, you know, and not even just him, a couple of the other inmates at the same facility had some objects that's in the food. So the guard was just like, oh, just, you know, toss it, you know, either you eat it, you know, eat what's around it and just toss it. But I'm like, no, that's important. So I told him to document every time that he gets a meal there, to document that, what's in there. But, I mean, but what can be done? I mean, if it happened to him,
well, first of all,
is
your Department of Corrections in Minnesota privately contracted, or does the state actually run their own Department of Corrections?
This facility, I believe, I believe where he's at now is privately contracted.
There's your answer.
Mm-hmm.
The right hand is feeding the left.
Guess what Sodexo does? Sodexo is a part of GEO. This is the, I'm glad we brought this up. They are part of the GEO family of companies that run
and
the private prison system.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why the food and all of that is happening. You know, this company is poisoning our people, our Marines, the people that are incarcerated.
Well, they clearly
the people
have no
that
regard
are at State
for human
Farm.
Eye.
Well, there's
no
an article showing that they fed the British Army horse meat. It was a Listeria outbreak. The British Marine. All you have to do is Google it. This company is a joke. What I know is that under constitutional law, all I know is about equal protection of a citizen.
Yeah.
Everybody that's been defending this company, and from the crooked attorneys that tricked us to believing that we were going to settle the case, to the Governor Kemp, Governor Deal, you know the people that we talked to. And what's so sad is that nobody understands that it's not just affecting me. It's you're eating
right.
their food at State Farm. I'm taking pictures of raw food that they're feeding the facility people, that the people at that customer service. I'm sharing mm-hmm. with them that the food is spoiled. And I pulled a case, a same similar case that this company, this attorneys that Beeks or whatever, they Oglethorpe, they did a the lady turned them in, stating that they were giving out bad food. And so I kept telling my supervisor at GVRA was that they were even giving the people spoiled food, rotten food that was sitting on the shelf that was rotten. I took pictures mm-hmm. of it, out there, not stamping the food. I complained, and I didn't just complain. I reported what this company has been doing for years. Right, and it comes out publicly. And the last thing I know is that they poisoned 500 students in Chicago.
In Chicago.
At the prom last year.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Last year.
So
but
you guys,
the reality is this, Karima, until it gets in a court of law, and that's what they keep turning the paper for, is to keep it out of court. But until it gets into a court of law, it's just you have to just keep beating the drums. I know that sounds horrible, but it's true. If you go back to any major case that was won, like Erin Brockovich, she did it by just staying on top of it. Not for 1 year, not for 2 years, not for 3 years. In her case, mm-hmm. it took 15 years.
Mm.
And she just kept looking around for new evidence, and she kept partnering, and she was smart. And that's what you're going to have to do. And I think the thing that amazes me the most is how are you there still? I'm about to lose my bat. I'm about to die. I'm about out of battery. But how you've got to stay on top and just keep fighting for the cause.
Mm-hmm.
And every time they throw you an obstacle, you got to find a way around it
mm-hmm.
until somebody comes to your aid. And you will get some help eventually. Some attorney
yes,
is going to be listening mm-hmm. to this, and they're going to say, all right, now I can get on board. I have to hang up. I have to go because I'm literally my phone's dying. But I want to thank you guys today for listening and participating. And Karima, put down your – tell us your email address or how people can reach you.
Oh, yeah. We have a thing called bansodexo@gmail.com, bansodexo@gmail.com. We have a Instagram, bansodexo, and we have a Twitter, bansodexo. So we have a campaign
right.
that we've matched up with folks. So that's how you can get in contact with us, bansodexo@gmail.com.
Okay. All right. And, DeMonica, thank you for calling in and participating. And
thank you. Good show. Yes, thank you.
That'll be it for today. Yeah, there are no good guys in this deal. there are only bad guys, and they're Republican and they're Democrat. They're just not – it's political, but at the end of the day, it's bigger than the politics. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marlene.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
jumbo tampons, but I can't help it if I've got a heavy flow and a wide-set vagina.
Jokes about menstrual cycles aren't funny. Period.
The government provides homeless shelters with condoms, but not tampons.
Without proper feminine hygiene products, women are forced to use brown paper bags.
In 2016, over 200,000 women were homeless in the U.S.
It's bloody serious.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Keep a little talking to, man to man, mano a mano.
Hey, Steve. It's now a good time?
No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org, a public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Women around the world use sanitary napkins and tampons every day, knowing little to nothing about the harmful and potentially dangerous materials used to manufacture them. Because of this, millions of women are forced to suffer in silence. In the United States, the Food and Drug Administration does not require companies to list the ingredients contained in sanitary napkins and tampons. Yet the average woman uses more than 15,000 sanitary napkins or uses tampons for more than 100,000 hours over her lifetime.
You really don't know what's in it. I mean, I don't think any of us really know, especially, you know, some of the new pads that maybe have a spongy type texture that's supposed to hold more. Well, what exactly is that? What's that made out of? We don't know. So then there's questions of how does that affect our health, you know, with things coming out that, you know, baby powder and talc are dangerous and cause ovarian cancer. What other things are we exposing our very sensitive areas to that could end up being a problem later on?
Internationally, it's even worse. A recent report from UNICEF and the World Health Organization cites that at least 500 million girls and women globally lack adequate facilities for managing their periods. In most schools, girls have to trek to the nurse's office to ask for a pad or tampon, as if menstruating is an illness rather than a natural function. In some parts of the world, girls simply drop out of school once they start menstruating. The manufacturing process of these menstrual aids has been known to cause serious damage to the environment. The toxic byproducts of producing tampons include poisons like dioxin and furan. In fact, conventional sanitary pads can contain the equivalent of about 4 plastic bags. Synthetics and plastic restrict airflow and trap heat and dampness, potentially promoting yeast and bacteria. Conventional sanitary pads can also contain other potentially hazardous ingredients, such as odor neutralizers and fragrances. How do tampons and pads get that ultra-white clean look? Usually chlorine bleach, which can also create toxic dioxin and other disinfection byproducts. According to an EPA draft report, dioxin is a serious public health threat that has no safe level of exposure. To make matters worse, tampons create a favorable environment for bacterial growth.
Certainly there's a lot of plastic involved with pads and the issues with tampons and the history. You have to be careful with toxic shock syndrome and stuff just because of what it's made out of is kind of a nidus of bacteria that's not so good for patients.
Micro tears in the vaginal wall from tampons allow bacteria to accumulate when left too long. One infamous risk is toxic shock syndrome, or TSS, caused by poisonous toxins from bacteria. TSS is a life-threatening condition that affects women under 30 most. While any woman using tampons can get TSS, over 60% of TSS fatalities happen in women ages 15 to 24. For too long, these facts have been conveniently swept under the rug, while hundreds of millions of women suffer with no alternatives. Until now. Introducing Cherish Premium Sanitary Napkins by Inspire. Cherish pads have been designed by women for women.
Good afternoon. Once again, you're listening to the one and only WAMRDB, the Woman Station with Marlene Dial with Van Sodexo. Tune in next time to the Woman Station here at WAMRDB.